Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 this morning. We've been preaching through the plagues, and we've come to plague number 7, the plague of hail and fire. And of course, God took a blow at the sky goddess of the Egyptians, the agricultural deities of the Egyptians through this plague. But there's a number of truths in this story of this plague this morning that I want to pull from this passage. And honestly, some things that I had not seen before. As a matter of fact, as we've gone through these plagues, I honestly am seeing things that I had not seen before in regards to these plagues. I'm seeing so much truth that is wrapped up in what God did when He freed the nation of Israel from the Egyptians. And as He did it, He said that He did it so that people would know that He is Lord, that is Jehovah, the existent one. And so many truths that He's given us. And beginning of verse number 13, well, let me do this first. Let me just review again what we've talked about to this point. And I think this is important for us to review this each week, just to keep our minds focused on the approach that we're taking to this. We said, first of all, that in the Scripture, Egypt is a picture of the world. And then we said the Promised Land is a picture of a life of victory on earth, not a picture of heaven, but a picture of a life of victory. And so God's desire was to take them from Egypt into the Promised Land and give them a victorious Christian life. We said that being delivered from Egypt and led to the Promised Land is a picture of deliverance from sin through salvation and into a life of victory through Christ. Now, we understand we're talking Old Testament versus New Testament, and I'm using New Testament terminology. I understand that, but we do also believe that this is a picture. And so, as we look at Egypt in the Promised Land, we understand the point that I'm trying to make this morning. God wants to give us victory through Jesus Christ. That is why Christ said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's what we're talking about. A Christian does not need to live with a continual sin in his life. We may stumble, we may fall, but if we live with a continual sin in our lives, whether it be a sin that's as blatant as living in fornication or living in some kind of substance abuse or whatever the case may be, whether it be as blatant as that or as subtle as bitterness within our hearts or just a sin of unbelief. Either way, it is a sin that God wants to root out of our lives. And so what we see in this picture is that God has power to save us from the penalty of sin, but God also wants us to understand that He has power to keep us from the power of sin on a daily basis. And that's what we see as we look at these plagues. Now, all of the gods of Egypt were a representation of the sin that held God's people in bondage. And in reality, the Egyptians too. So each god of the Egyptian had control over a certain area in the lives of the Egyptians, and every plague that God sent to the nation of Egypt was a direct hit on one of the Egyptian gods. And as long as these gods had control over Jehovah's people, they were kept in captivity. So God brought to light not only the destructive power of these false gods, but also the destructive power of sin in a person's life. He also demonstrated His ability to deliver the Israelites from these gods, and in doing that, revealed to us His power to deliver a soul from sin, not just through salvation, but through victory throughout the Christian life. Now begin reading with me in Exodus chapter 9. You follow along as I read verse number 13 as we get into the seventh plague. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Moses was my kind of man. He was up early in the morning. Verse number 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow, about this time, which would have been early in the morning, as we see from verse 13, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. By the way, in the last plague, we saw that the cattle died as because the result of the moraine that God sent, that terrible disease. And so somewhere between the last plague and this plague, they had acquired some more cattle. They could have acquired them from the Israelites, whose cattle was not hurt. They could have gotten them from another country, whatever the case may be. And believe me, back then they didn't have insurance, and so they didn't turn in a claim to pay for the cattle. As Brother Dewey was sharing with me the other day, as he was reading through this, he said, man, God hit them in one plague and they lost all their cattle. He said, it's almost like saying, I just spent 10 grand to replace all of those animals, and now I get them hit again. God had bankrupt and corrupted the nation of Egypt. Verse number 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. A little fitting for what we just read through. Thank you, Brother Dewey. Well, when we read through this, and we're not done reading, but God talks about the fire and he talks about the thunder. If you were to go to Psalm 78, which we're not going to this morning, but if you go to Psalm 78, the psalmist writes about this incident and he refers to it as hot thunderbolts. And so what seems to have happened here is, let me just put the next slide up. What seems to have happened here is that God sent terrible hail, and it seems like there was lightning that ran across the ground, as the Bible tells us here that it ran along upon the ground, and as it did, it killed anything that was in its way. And so you had these terrible hail pieces falling down, and this lightning that is referred to as fire and hot thunderbolts that seem to be running across the ground. You can only imagine this storm in your wildest dreams. Verse 25, and the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Must have been one terrible storm. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, and the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. What that means is that they were maturing. So these were the plants that were maturing. They were reaching the point of harvest before long. But verse number 32 says, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not yet grown up. They had not come up out of the ground yet. So God did spare them some, at least at the end of this plague. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Would you pray with me this morning, please? Our Father, we want to thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we want to thank you for these plagues and what we learn through these plagues. And we ask this morning, Lord, that as we talk through this hail and fire, preach the truths that you've given us this morning, would you be honored in it all? Lord, would you guard my lips and keep me from saying anything, Lord, that you would not want me to say, but let me say everything that you want. Lord, would you be with our hearts, and Lord, would you please help our hearts to be open and receptive to what we hear this morning. Dear Father, there are no doubt many distractions that could affect us this morning during the preaching of your word. Lord, no doubt there are some that are dealing with financial issues, some that are dealing with work issues, some that are dealing with relationship issues. Lord, some that are maybe dealing with sicknesses and health issues. And Lord, there may be some that have family members that are strained from you, and that may be a burden upon them. And Lord, there may just be a number of things this morning that could distract our mind from the preaching of your word. And we ask that you would stop that from happening. And Lord, that you will please open our minds to the truths that you have for us. Lord, we have a number of people that are out this morning for different reasons, but Lord, you have brought the ones that need to be here. And so, Lord, we trust that you'll speak. And Lord, we believe that you will as we open your word and read through it and preach through it. And Father, all of these things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we start into this sermon this morning, I want to clarify a misconception that often gets preached. Look at verse number 16 with me, please. And this is all prior to getting into the main points of the sermon, but I feel like this is important for me to address and not to skip over. In Exodus 9:16, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power." And so God is speaking to Pharaoh here. And this Pharaoh obviously was brought to power by God to accomplish God's plan in magnifying his own name. And some folks have taken this phrase in this verse to mean that Pharaoh had no choice in his behavior, that God put him there, and that God used Pharaoh then strictly to accomplish his will without any choice on Pharaoh's part. That because his heart was hardened by God, Pharaoh's heart hardened by God, that he was predestined by God to fail. And that is just plain not true. We need to understand that Pharaoh had a choice. Look at verse number 34 of this passage. "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants." We are told throughout this saga of the plagues that there are times where God hardens Pharaoh's heart. But what's interesting to me is that more often than we're told God hardens Pharaoh's heart, we're told that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. Now we need to understand that. We understand that Pharaoh had a choice. Look at verse number 17 with me. It makes it very plain here what the problem was. "As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go." He exalted himself. Pharaoh exalted himself against God's command to let the people go, rather than showing God's predestination in Pharaoh to be destined to fail, what it shows is the power of sin in a person's life. Pharaoh was the ultimate ruler. He had no checks and balances. He was even worshipped as a deity. His son, which God later kills in the 10th plague, his son would have been the next Pharaoh deity, and he would have been worshipped. There was nothing to keep Pharaoh's pride in check. Nothing to keep his pride in check. Therefore, he was given to his own self-deception. He truly thought that he could resist God and get by with it. And God, in his foreknowledge, understood this about this man. But Pharaoh had choices to obey God or to disobey God. And what this does show us is the strength of our own sinful appetites and our own pride. Do we get it? And it stresses the need for divine intervention in our lives to deliver us from our own selves. Do we get the impact of that statement? It stresses the need for divine intervention in our lives just to deliver us from our own selves. And when we are confronted with truth and we do not respond properly, we likewise exalt ourselves above God and His Word. Now, with that being said, let me get into the preaching. And y'all are thinking, I thought that was the preaching. That was just the introduction. Look with me at verse number 14. Verse number 14. God, speaking through Moses to Pharaoh, said this, "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart." Do you see that? I'd not seen that phrase until I was preparing for this message. Oh, I'll be honest with you, I've read through this story several times, but I had not picked up on that phrase until I was actually preparing for this sermon. And I want us to understand this morning that this is a heart issue. This phrase is in here on purpose, and here is the real issue. The real issue with Pharaoh, and the real issue with these gods, and the real issue among people that reject God and do not listen to God's truth and do not act according to God's truth, the real issue is the heart. It is the heart. That's why God says in Proverbs 4:23, as he writes through Solomon, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What our heart holds true will determine the issues that direct us in our lives. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Sin begins in the heart. When our heart is not pure before God, then decisions are made that are self-centered. It's a heart issue. I want you to understand this morning that the closer I get to God, the more I can see my own self-centeredness. And the further away from God that I get, the less prone I am to see my own selfishness, particularly in the decisions that I make. When God said, "I will send my plagues upon thine heart," that was an intentional statement. Now, let me remind us this morning, and we all know this, that when God sent his plagues upon their heart, their flesh suffered, right? Yeah, their flesh suffered because of the plagues. Their finances suffered. Their health suffered. Their servants suffered. Their relationships suffered. And probably in some cases, their sanity suffered, all as a result of rejecting God. You see, the real issue was a heart issue. Until God gets our heart, until God gets our heart, there is not full surrender. And our decisions will not be made with a heart toward God. We're back in Exodus chapter 9, and we're still looking at verse number 14. There's something in this verse I want to pull out. Look at the last phrase in this verse. "That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." Do you believe that? You know, we can say we believe that, but I got news for you. There is no career that compares to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There's no banking account that can compare to Jehovah. There's no house, there's no car, there's no place that we can go. There is nothing that compares to Jesus Christ, because there is none like him on all the earth. God and God alone. Look at verse number 19. "Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die." God always sends warning. Just remember that. We've talked about that in the other plagues. But God always sends warning before coming judgment. There may be somebody in here today that God is sending a warning to. Maybe there's some decisions where your heart has not turned completely to the Lord and you're making decisions based upon wrong information or based upon something other than God Almighty being involved. Maybe this message is that warning. Maybe there are other circumstances in your life that are out of your control that God has brought along your life, maybe there was a Christian brother, maybe in your own Bible reading, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was there. Whatever the case may be, God always sends warning. And then look at verse number 20. I want us to know that there are individual choices. It says in verse 20, "He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." There's individual choices. God gives every one of us an individual choice. And right here, even in this passage of Scripture, we see that Pharaoh's servants that honored God's word, God honored them. But in verse number 21, it says, "And the Lord said unto," verse 21, "He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." We have a contrast here. But I got to ask you, who was it that promoted the attitude of verse number 21? Who was it that promoted that attitude of not regarding the word of the Lord? Well, it was Pharaoh himself. You see, leadership has responsibility to direct into what is right, but we have individual choices. Each person has to determine whether they regard God's word or not and then act upon it. And we have two different individuals in these verses, some that feared God's word and some that regarded not. And then in verse number 25, it says, "And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast." I want us to understand this morning. People died because of the decisions of others. One decision by a person has ripple effects, which we often cannot foresee. We have parents of children in here this morning, and I got news for you, parents. One decision could have ripple effects throughout your children for the rest of their lives and maybe into the next generation. One decision. One decision. Do you know what the decision was in this case? What was the decision that was made and people died? It was to do nothing. Nothing, simply not to act. Let's just wait and see what happens. I know what God said, but the weather seems pretty calm right now to me. I don't see a storm brewing. I don't see this judgment coming. No, things are pretty calm right now. Let's just leave things alone and not go to the effort of bringing people in and making changes. You don't understand, if I make a decision to bring everyone in out of the field, just because God says so, somebody's going to be upset because they don't like the change. You see, people just don't like to move. Do our decisions affect others? You see, some of these people that were killed in the field because of this decision to do nothing, some of them were servants. But some of them were probably sons, too. We know that that's the way they did it back then. Oftentimes, the sons were the herdsmen and whatever the flock or the herd may be. So some of these people probably lost children because of this decision not to heed God's word. I want to make this statement here. When we hear the word of God, but we do not heed the word of God, people around us suffer. It's not just us. Sometimes we think we can put it off. We think we can just ignore the warnings or ignore the commands of God's word and not act upon God's word. But whenever we make that decision, there's always effects on other people, and other people suffer. Now let me ask a question this morning to take this just a little deeper. How do we reconcile these two thoughts here? How do we reconcile these two thoughts? That we have individual choices, but yet people died because of the decisions of others. How do we reconcile those two thoughts in our thinking? And I think the answer to that question comes by recognizing the criteria by which this decision was made. You see, in verses 20 and 21, it refers to two groups of people. He that feared the word of the Lord acted, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord did not act. That's how we answer the question, how do we justify them? You see, we all have authority in our lives, right? We all have authority. We all have responsibility to be obedient to that authority that's in our lives. But when the authority over us goes contrary to the word of God, we have a greater responsibility to make an individual decision based upon our fear of God's word. Are y'all with me this morning? Do we fear the Word of God? You should. Do we fear the Word of God enough to act upon it just because God said so? You see, here is the core of the issue. Now, I want you to listen to me. We said that the real issue is a heart issue, but the core of that heart issue is this. We either have a fear for the Word of God or we disregard the Word of God. The Bible tells us that Noah moved with fear when God said, build an ark. How many of us would do that? How many of us, there are areas in our lives right now where we know we are rejecting the truth of God's Word? God has given a clear command over certain things in our lives or certain things, period, that we all understand. It could be the importance of the church. It could be the importance of tithing. It could be just some other area where that we need to be obedient, whether it be in the area of baptism or whether it be in the area of witnessing or whatever the case may be. Maybe there is some sin in your life through a television program, or there's some music in your life that should not be there, or whatever the case may be, and you know that you're going against the Word of God, and God convicts you when it comes up, but for the most part, you just kind of push it off to the side. What is that? Is there bitterness within your heart? Is there something in your heart that just says, I'm exalting myself over the Word of God because I say I fear it, but in reality, I'm disregarding it in this area of my life? God wants a heart that fears His Word to the point that we act upon it with complete faith. Oh, to get a handle on the priority of God in our lives. Look at verse number 27 with me, please. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people are wicked. You know what we see here? We see a recognition of the truth, but not a full surrender. I know I need to do this, but we recognize it. I know God's Word says this, but I see it. I'm even willing to say it, but I won't surrender to it. You see, Pharaoh gained nothing from this recognition. I mean, you read verse number 27, and on the surface you may think, wow, this guy finally has gotten it. But the truth is, he gained nothing by this recognition. He was on the right track, but he never reached the point of repentance. Look at verse 28. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. You see, you can see from this verse that Pharaoh regretted the consequences of the sin more than he regretted the sin itself that led to the consequences. There's a lesson here for us to learn, Christian, right? There is a difference between remorse over consequences and repentance over sin. As a matter of fact, look down at verse number 30 where Moses speaks and he says, but as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. How did Moses know that? Moses knew that because of the focus of verse number 28. Pharaoh focused on the consequences, not the sin. A true repentance would have focused on the need for repentance. There was no change of heart. We said from the beginning, this is a heart issue. God was trying to get to the heart. God was trying to change the heart. There was a recognition of truth, but there was not full surrender. There was no heart change. Look at verse number 29 with me. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord's. Well, what do we see in this verse of Scripture? We see that the storm continued, but God's people were not hurt by it. You know, in verse number 9, he says, as soon as I am gone out of the city. I always thought that meant where Pharaoh lived within Egypt. Now that I live in this area, I understand that the city means Chicago. So this must have been Chicago here in this verse of Scripture. I'm sorry, that was my attempt at humor. Wherever Pharaoh was living, we don't know at that point in time where this took place, but Moses appeared before Pharaoh. I want you all to think about this for just a moment. The storm was raging, and Moses walked in to see Pharaoh, and in order for him to do that, he had to have walked through this storm that took lives, right? And then he turns to Pharaoh and he says, I will do this as soon as I'm out of the city. And he turns around and he walks through this raging storm and gets outside of the city and then prays and the storm ceases. They walked right through the storm. While others were being struck dead, they were able to walk through the storm and they were not stricken. How did that happen? Obedience. Obedience. God, I'll go. I'll be your messenger. Pharaoh, I'm going to leave the city and I'll pray to God and he'll stop it. And the storm continued, but God's people were not hurt. When do we get a hold of the fact that if we act by simple faith, the storm may continue to rage around us. It doesn't make the storm go away, but it keeps us safe in the middle of the storm. Oh, that doesn't mean that there may not be financial loss to make a decision on a job when the devil dangles more money in front of us, but to make a decision on a job just because of the money, knowing that it may keep us out of church, doesn't give you the money back. God might, I don't know. But it does give you peace in the midst of the storm. And those without God in this storm suffered loss and some died. But those who exercised faith in God walked through the storm with confidence in their God. You realize this morning that God wants to deliver you from the power of sin. That's what this whole series is about. God wants to deliver you from the power of sin. And this plague this morning hones in on how we make our decisions. And I pray that our decisions are made with God in the center and not a sinful thought and a sinful heart. Would you bow your head with me this morning, please? Our Father, this morning we yield to you the results, Lord, of this preaching. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be pleased with the way we respond to your word now. And Lord, some of the things that were preached this morning, Lord, are going to have to soak in, because some of these things are going to, Lord, have to be exercised over years. And we understand that. But Lord, we pray that we would take them to heart and that you would be honored by our decisions. And Lord, that those decisions would be made based upon faith in you and fear upon your word. And Lord, not based upon a disregard for your word. Father, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.